Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Each week at this time, the H.J. Heinz Company, makers of the famous 57 varieties, gives you information, please. A quartet of experts is on hand to answer your questions. Send them to Information, Please, at 570 Lexington Avenue, New York City. We may edit them a bit, and in case of similarity, you'll have to accept our judgment of who shall be paid. If we use your question, the H.J. Heinz Company will send you $10 in war stamps, plus a set of the 12-volume Britannica Junior Encyclopedia. If we muff the question, you get $57 in war bonds and stamps, plus a 24-volume set of the regular Encyclopedia Britannica. All questions remain our property. Information, Please, is presented under the supervision of Dan Golenpaul. And now, our master of ceremonies, book reviewer of the New Yorker magazine, Clifton Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Flower. Ladies and gentlemen, impromptu as ever, Information, Please, tonight offers you a mixed quartet. John Kieran of the New York Sun and his colleague, Franklin P. Adams, will compete with the sharp female wits of Jan Struther, creator of Mrs. Miniver, and the celebrated actress and writer, Cornelia Otis Skinner, co-author of Our Hearts Were Young and Gay. Now, this team has met in mortal combat before, about a year ago, I think, and at that time, the girls topped the boys by several correct answers. We have a professional scorekeeper here this evening who is going to keep a record of the right answers made by each of these four, and we shall see which sex wins. This will be one of the few cases in which the issue is in doubt. The first question comes from Carl P. Skog of St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm going to ask you to define these words, which sound somewhat alike. Get two out of three. The first word is bisque, the second word is basque, the third word is busk. Bisque, B-I-S-Q-U-E. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Struther.
Bisque is a sort of soup usually made of lobster or some fish like that.
Yes, quite right.
It's also a thing some game, tennis, I think, might be billiards. Never mind, skip that. It's a sort of soup.
It isn't in billiards. Is it, Mr. Adams? Is
I've never heard of it.
Don't think so. Mr. Kieran?
It's in golf.
What does it mean in golf?
Well, it's a movable handicap. You were allowed a couple of bisques, and you can take a bisque where you please. If you score a three on a hole and the other fellow scores a five, you don't take any bisque there. You don't need it. But if you both get fives and you want to win the hole, you take your bisque.
That's one game I don't have to learn. And also, it is a color. What kind of color?
It's the color of the soup, isn't it? Sort of.
Well, but you have to...
Depends on how you make the soup.
Soups differ.
It's a
pinkish
light. It's a terracotta kind of color.
Terracotta, reddish-yellow. Is that terracotta?
Yes.
Well, I have reddish-yellow down here. We better stick to that.
Yes,
all right, that's what bisque is. Now, what is basque? B-A-S-Q-U-E. I have four hands. Miss Skinner.
Well, that refers to a person or something from the northern part of Spain, in the Basque country.
Yes, quite right. Anything else?
And it also is a garment. You wear a basque. It's a kind of a blouse thing. Or maybe it's sort of a bustle. I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, I can't tell you, Miss Kinnaman.
Yes, I think it's a sort of a... around that part of you, I think.
It isn't around that part of me. Well, it resembles a jacket with a short skirt. Isn't that what a basque... Miss Struther, you seem to have an idea on this basque stuff. Have you ever worn one, Adams?
Oh, frequently.
Well, it's a sort of a fitted waist, isn't it? Whatever that is.
I think it's a, very tight, it's a sort of stomacher with whale bones in it.
Stomacher with whale bones?
No, I think
good heavens. I think we better go on to busk.
Which is spelled... what you do in the shade, basking in the shade.
That's spelled differently.
How about busk, B-U-S-K? Miss Struther.
It means to act.
Yes, that's an old English meaning, to go about offering entertainment. That's
on
right.
On buskins.
The buskin. Mm.
That's right, but it has another meaning also, by the way, Miss Struther, and this comes back to your favorite whalebone. It's an elastic strip of metal or other material. Used to be made of whalebone when we had whales. Or wood, and it's worn in the front of a corset.
Oh, that's what I was confusing it with.
Have you ever encountered one of those things, Mr. Adams?
Never.
Well, at any rate, that's what if you ever do, it's a busk. And that gives us three bisque, basque, busks out of three, and sends us on to a question from J.F. Burr of Old Lyme, Connecticut, which is a lovely town. Give three famous quotations about ladies or gentlemen. In other words, any poetical or
prose quotation that mentions the word lady or the word gentleman, either in the singular or the plural, Miss Skinner.
Sigh no more, ladies.
Very good. That gives us one lady. How about Miss Strother?
Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies. Mr. Adams?
My mother was a...
What? Oh, we ought to get... I think we ought to be a little less gallant and have a gentleman or two mentioned on this program, Mr. Adams.
Gentlemen, be seated.
That's an easy out. Yes, here's one that makes no sense. We are gentlemen of Japan, Mr. Adams, from one of your favorite authors.
Adam delved and Eve span, who was then the gentleman?
That's a very good one, yes. How about this from Paula Warsaw of Spivak, Colorado? This is a musical question, ladies and gentlemen. We're sliding this in the absence of Mr. Levant, because it's very easy. What length of time is described in each of these songs? In other words, if you know what the songs are about, they mention a certain length of time in the course of the verse. Let's have the first. Mr. Kieran, I have three hands. Mr. Kieran?
3 o'clock in the morning.
Now, that is not a length of time. That is a... length of time mentioned in the song. You go on to the next line, you'll get it.
Something the whole night through.
Yes, it's the whole night through. We've danced the whole night through. Right. Does that come back to you, Miss Skinner, Mr. Adams? That's right. Now, maybe I didn't make the point clear, so we'll call that correct, Mr. Kieran. Now, how about the second of these? Miss Skinner?
All the live long day.
Yes, that's what the
song. I've been working on the railroad.
Very good. And now the third and last. Miss Strother, was that your hand up?
Good night, sweetheart.
Yes, but that is not a length of time.
No.
Mr. Kieran?
Till we meet tomorrow.
Yes, and the length of time would be?
Well, depends on what time you get up.
Well, ordinarily, from night to morning. That's quite right. That gives us 3 out of 3, and no stubs so far. Here's one from Elsie Litt Lau of Honolulu, Hawaii. And this is all about various couples who were, for one reason or another, unable to keep their dates with each other. Name the couple that was unable to, they were unable to keep their dates at an English inn. They were supposed to meet at an English inn, but for some reason or another, they never could quite manage it. Miss Strother?
Was it in This Above All?
No, I think they did manage it there.
Eventually?
Yes.
But wasn't there a hitch?
A hitch? I don't know whether there was a hitch or not. Eventually, as I remember, there was no hitch whatsoever.
No.
No, this is a favorite poem of Mr. Kieran's, as a matter of fact. It's the characters...
And the landlady's daughter.
Atta boy, yes. Mr. Adams. Mm. Very good.
I know he knows that one.
The landlord's daughter.
Who were the characters, Mr. Adams?
Well, Bess.
Yes, and?
That's as far as I ever heard.
And the highwayman, as Mr. Kieran and Miss Skinner remind us. Bess shoots herself, do you remember, to warn her approaching lover that the police are waiting to catch him. Well, I guess we have to call that sort of wrong, Mr. Adams. It's sort of a semi-answer. How about this one? This couple was unable to keep their dates at a railroad station in Paris. Yes, Miss Strother?
That was in Casablanca.
That was in Casablanca. Who were the characters involved?
Rick. I don't remember his last name.
I don't remember their names the movie. What were their names in real life, so to speak?
Oh, Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman.
Yes, that's right. What was the story? Why were they unable to meet at the railroad station?
Well, it was pretty complicated. She was in love with him, and she thought her husband had died or been shot in a concentration camp, and so she made a date to go away with Rick, and by the time the train was due to leave, she discovered that her husband was alive after all, and so she didn't go.
Anybody care to contradict Miss Strother? That seems right. How about a couple that didn't keep their date at Ninus's tomb? Ninus's tomb, Mr. Kieran?
Pyramus and Thisbe.
Where do you find these people?
You will find them in a play within a play, Midsummer Night's Dream.
That's quite right. And why were they unable to keep their date, Mr. Kieran?
Well, because Lion came and chased Thisbe away, whereupon Pyramus, coming late and finding signs of violence, thought that she had been eaten without ration points by the lion and killed himself.
That's right. Well, that's no worse a plot than that of Casablanca, as a matter of fact. Well, that gives us 2 out of 3 and sends us on to this one from Mrs. A.A. Pequignot of Glen Ridge, New Jersey. It's my favorite question. What article of woman's wearing apparel literally means the following? Literally means a little body. An article of woman's wearing apparel. I see no hands from the gentleman. Miss Skinner?
Wouldn't it be bodice?
No. Yeah. Bodice, I think, is simply an old plural for body. Miss Struther?
Corset, I should say.
Why, what makes you say that?
Well, a little body.
Yes, from what word?
Well, corpse.
Corps.
Corps
in French.
Corps in French.
It is puzzling because it usually encompasses something which is far from a little body, but that's the general idea, yes. Corset is right. And what article literally means neglected? Neglected. Mr. Adams.
Negligé.
And why do you suppose it's called that, Mr. Adams?
Because it's kind of careless-like.
Well, you've had luck. yes, I suppose. Would that be the reason, Miss Skinner?
I think so.
Yes,
I they neglected, too.
Well, informal, perhaps, would be a nicer word, Mr. Adams. And what article literally means encircle, to encircle? Miss Struther? Mr. Kieran?
Girdle.
Yes, girdle, sure. In case you care to know, it comes from the Middle English girdle, also from the Anglo-Saxon girdle. Hasn't changed a bit.
Girdles and boys together.
3 out of 3. And now our Heinz reporter, Ben Grauer, is going to discuss the youngest generation.
Bringing up your babies in a world at war may sometimes seem like a tremendous undertaking to you conscientious American parents. But when you stop to consider all the reliable institutions, all the trained experts who stand back of you ready to help, you can be greatly reassured. We at Heinz believe that helping you raise healthy, sturdy babies is our outstanding responsibility, our most sacred trust. That's why we go to such pains to make our baby foods uniformly reliable. Why we raise our own vegetables close by our kitchens, cook and pack them scientifically to protect their flavor and color. But that's not all. We check and recheck Heinz baby foods to be sure they are highly nourishing. And during production, our scientists run laboratory tests on samples of Heinz-strained foods every 2 hours to check their vitamin content. And further checking is done at regular intervals by our expert advisors in the Mellon Institute. You see, it all pretty much adds up to one single belief of ours. Nothing is too good for your baby.
Thank you, Mr. Grauer. Now, before we go on with the show, I just want to get in a special announcement. Next week, Information Please broadcasts from Hartford, Connecticut, the third stop in its bond drive. And we announce with some special excitement that our guest will be Mr. Wendell Willkie, whose new book will be out next Thursday. So don't forget to listen in next week. And now on with the show with a question from George D. Lewis, Jr. of New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, who lived in a house made of the following materials? The first set of materials, or rather single material, was gopher wood. Who lived in a house made of gopher wood? Miss Struther.
Noah.
Yes. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah, a lot of other people and animals.
Yes, practically everybody. It was a full house.
Yeah.
Wife, sons, wives, 2 of each. Weren't there, Mr. Adams? Or don't you remember?
Yes, sir, and that's G-O-P-H-I-R.
Is it different from our kind of gopher, which is sort of a little...
Oh, very.
Is it, Mr. Kieran? You would know.
Sure, they have no trees named after the rodent.
It is spelled differently. Well, what sort of wood is it? Do we have any gopher trees in this country?
Not that I know.
No.
All right, how about this one? Who lived in a house made of a gourd? A house made of a gourd. Does it come to you, Mr. Kieran? Mr. Kieran is looking off into space. Space is winking back at him. Miss Struther?
It has to be a house and not a vehicle, does it?
A house, yeah. Mm. You're thinking of Cinderella?
Yeah.
That was a pumpkin.
Yes.
Keep going, Gail. You're on the right track. Do I have to throw this in your faces?
Yes.
Well, it's Mrs. Peter, the wife of Mr. Peter, the pumpkin eater. He put her in a...
pumpkin shell.
Yes, and there he...
kept her very well.
Yes, well, that's one wrong.
Well,
that was a
gourd. Pumpkin isn't the same as a gourd.
Isn't it?
No.
Why not?
Well, because they're different vegetable, aren't they?
Or I don't think so. Mr. Kieran, you better get me out of this one.
Is it?
Well, it belongs to the... falls in that general category, although we make some distinctions. Not scientific.
We don't make any distinction on this program, no, sir.
They don't look alike.
I think it is a gourd, Miss Skinner. Belongs to the, is it the Cucurbitaceae family?
Yes,
right. How about this? Who lived in a house made of bread, cake, and sugar? Lovely notion. Miss Skinner?
The old witch in Hansel and Gretel.
Quite right. That gives us 3 out of 3. Here's one from Irma Hall of Santa Cruz, California. And this, again, is a non-Levant musical question. What is the rank of the singer of each of these songs? His rank is what we're interested in getting. Let's have the first. Thank you, Miss Skinner.
Tenor.
Oh, that is not a rank, although it sometimes is.
What do you mean a rank? Oh, I know. Oh, well, he's a... well, all right. He's a count. Rigoletto.
Yes,
he's
is he a count?
He's a very high up...
he's bigger than a count. Keep going. Just keep going up. What do you get about
prince,
counts?
A count?
No. Princes have come dime a dozen. Mr. Kieran?
King.
Duke.
Duke. Yeah, dukes are the real thing, Miss Skinner. That's right. The Duke in Rigoletto. It almost seems we have to count that wrong. It's Duke or nothing. Thank you for coming in, but coming in late, Mr. Kieran. And now the second.
I left my heart at the stage door, can't hear.
Miss Skinner, we'd like to retrieve yourself.
Yes, that's a private.
It is a private, yes. And I left my heart at the stage door canteen. Very good. And now the third and last. I have two hands. Mr. Adams?
That is a captain.
Yes, captain where?
Captain Corcoran and HMS Pinafore, but he wasn't a captain when the play was over.
What was he when the play was over?
He was Rafe Rackstraw.
Demoted?
Mm.
And what were you going to say, Miss Skinner?
I was going to say it was the captain.
I knew you were going to say that, Miss Skinner, all along.
He was a captain when he sang.
That's right.
He is also a baritone, I think.
And now, here's one from Ruth W. Keith of Northeastern Massachusetts. This is a very easy question. Identify the source of these quotations and tell what each describes. And each of these quotations has the word fit, F-I-T, in it. The first is, fit for the gods. Tell me what it's from and what it describes, Mr. Kieran.
It is from Julius Caesar.
That's right.
Let's not carve him as a carcass fit for hounds, but as a dish fit for the gods.
Yes, whom are they going to carve up, Mr. Kieran?
Caesar. Brutus is telling Cassius how the butchering should be done.
Yes, how to carve him, that's right. Now the second fit is... fit as a fiddle. Fit as a fiddle. Miss Struther.
Fit as a fiddle and ready for love.
Yes, that's right. And who it's about, the person known as I suppose, in the song. How about 200% fit? 200% fit. Oh, we should all know that, Miss Struther.
Winston Churchill said it.
To whom?
To one of his generals. I'm sorry, I don't remember which. The general said, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I'm 100% fit. And Churchill said, I do drink and I do smoke and I'm 200% fit.
Yes. The general was General Montgomery, the great hero of North Africa. Well, that gives us 3 fits. 3 fits. Matter of fact, well, isn't fit
the first.
Isn't fit an old word for stanza, Mr. Adams,
yes,
or something
sir.
In a poem? Part
usually
of a poem?
F-Y-T-T-E.
F-Y-T-T-E. Fitty. Yes, well, that gives us 3 fitties. And send us on to this one from Harry Stern of New York City. Whose career... passed through these stages. Correspondent, prisoner, prime minister. Who is that, Mr. Kieran?
Winston Churchill.
Yes, can you tell us
more? He was a correspondent in the Boer War, I believe. And what's the next one?
A prisoner.
Oh, he was captured out there.
Yes, and made a miraculous escape.
Yes, and there's a rumor that he's still prime minister.
It's more than a rumor. How about this one? Military student, prisoner, generalissimo. Apparently being a prisoner is a sine qua non. Mr. Adams?
That's probably the Generalissimo of China.
Yes. Name? In your best Chinese, Mr. Adams. Oh, give us your worst. Mr. Kieran?
Chiang Kai-shek.
Chiang Kai-shek. He was a military student in his early days. And when was he a prisoner? Mr. Adams, do you remember?
He was a prisoner when he was captured and held to see. It was sort of a political deal. I wanted to see what answer he would give under a certain stress, and he stood out.
That's right.
And they turned him loose and joined up with him.
Yes, it was a sort of a nonviolent kidnapping. Yes. It took place at a place called Shan, I think, S-I-A-N. Here's another career, in brief. Student at a seminary, prisoner, which does seem a shame, and field marshal. Who is that?
Student at a seminary?
Student at a seminary, a religious seminary, prisoner, and field marshal. Miss Strother?
Well, I think it was Rommel.
Rommel? Was he ever a student at a seminary?
I don't know. It's just a guess.
He's been badly trained, if he was. No, it isn't Rommel. And Rommel, I regret to say, has never been a prisoner, at least not in this war. Who, Mr. Kieran?
How about Giraud?
No. No, the answer is Stalin. Stalin, at one time, was a student. At a religious seminary, he studied to become a priest. He was, of course, a prisoner, like many of the Bolsheviks, and he is now, among his other titles, field marshal. That gives us 2 out of 3. Now, our Heinz reporter has a word or two about cookery, that art, that noble science. If you please, Ben Grauer.
Paying a lot of attention to a host of little details has always been a must with Heinz chefs. They've always taken great pains to make sure that the perfect amount of seasoning goes into a tasty sauce or a pudding, that a soup gets the proper degree of simmering and stirring to make it just right. Perhaps that's one reason why so many people have looked to Heinz since 1869 for the tempting dishes that make a meal an adventure in good eating. Of course, there are not as many of the 57 varieties available today. We've been doing a lot of cooking and canning so that the boys in the Army and Navy will have home-flavored food. But you can be sure every 57-labeled can or bottle you find on your grocer's shelf is a mighty tasty food delight with all the old-fashioned home-style flavor you like. War has made food rationing necessary. But you can depend on it, we'll do our utmost to see that Heinz flavor will never be rationed.
Thank you, Mr. Grauer. I think you ladies and gentlemen are doing remarkably well. We have no stumps so far. Let's see whether we can trip you up from this time on. Here's one from Miss Kay Morrison of Vineland, Ontario, Canada. According to the poems, what was the marital status of the ladies who lived in the following places? The marital status of the lady who lived in the By Street. Mr. Kieran.
She was a widow. John Masefield.
Yes. And what's the title of the poem?
The Widow in By Street.
Widow in the By Street, yes. What was the marital status of the lady who lived in Bath? Mr. Adams?
She was a wife.
She was a wife, yes. Where do you find this wife?
In Chaucer.
In Chaucer. Chaucer's poem called?
The Wife of Bath.
Wife of Bath, yes. Had she been married before we hear of her in Chaucer's tale of the Wife of Bath?
She had.
How many times?
I forget, but many.
5. And where had she left her 5 husbands, does Mr. Chaucer say? Husbands at Churchador, she had a 5. Presumably she had left them in the cemetery? Well, that would be what you think,
yes,
Mr. Kieran?
Yes, buried them in the churches in those
old
days.
What was the marital status of the lady who lived in Astolat? Miss Strother?
She was a lily maid.
Yes. Where do you find her?
Tennyson.
In Tennyson, yes, an odd address. Elaine, the lily maid of Astolat, from Lancelot and Elaine, Tennyson's famous poem. That gives us 3 ladies. How about this one from Mrs. F.J. Miller of Spokane, Washington? This, again, is a literary question, and this is all about famous courtships. Who courted the older sister but married the younger? Courted the older but married the younger. It's in a very famous book that I think all of us have read. Miss Strother?
It's in The Old Wives' Tale by Arnold Bennett, I think, but...
You have me there. I've read it, but don't remember it. I don't think that's true. I think there were two sisters...
I think it is, but I don't know the names of the people.
Well, you may be right. If so, we'll receive our apologies in the mail. Are there any... Mr. Adams, do you have a guess on that?
No.
It's Laurie, the character in Little Women, who courted Joe, remember, for many years, but later married Amy. Did you ever read it, Mr. Adams?
No, sir.
Haven't you any child's literature at all, Mr. Adams?
Yes, but not girls' literature.
How about this one? Who courted the younger sister and married the older? Courted the younger and married the older. See, it's the reverse of the first case. It is not to be found in Little Women. Mr. Kieran? Miss Struther?
Well, perhaps that was the old wives' tale.
Are you going to continue on this line and it takes all evening?
No, I don't think so. It's in the Bible. Remember Jacob?
He didn't do it intentionally.
I didn't say that he did.
He had the older sister palmed off on him, and he had to work another 7 years to get the younger sister.
That's true, but he did court the younger one and marry the older, who was Leah, nevertheless. Later on, he got Rachel back, didn't he?
After yep. seven more years
After
later.
Seven more years. Well, listen, what's the sense of being indignant about it this late day?
That was a drop in the bucket for those boys.
Got two wrong on this one. How about this one? Here is a character who courted the girl, but married the mother. Courted the girl, but married the mother. Miss Struther? No, it is not in the old wives' tale. I've never known Arnold Bennett get more plugs.
Henry Esmond, isn't it?
Henry Esmond is right, yes. Very good, Miss Skinner. Henry Esmond, he courted Beatrix, but married Rachel. Well, I think that sends $57 in war bonds and stamps to Mrs. Miller and a set of the Encyclopedia Britannica, courtesy of the H.J. Hines Company. Here's a question from Mary V. Robbins of Cleveland. Who was responsible for the separation of these lovers? I think this is a rather hard one. Who is responsible for the separation of Alfredo and Camille? Of course, you have to know who Alfredo and Camille are, Mr. Kieran.
Why, the father was the one who was responsible for it, because he went down to that little town outside Paris where Alfredo and Camille were living, and he persuaded Camille to abandon Alfred.
Yes, whose father was he? The father of which of them?
It was Alfredo's father.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Adamo Camilla.
Yes.
Or Camille,
her name wasn't Camille.
By Dumas Fils.
Her name was Marguerite.
Marguerite what? Gautier, yes.
Well, her name wasn't Camille.
But
her
that's the story.
Camille. No.
La Dame aux Camélias.
Yeah.
Yes, but
she
don't
wore
think...
camellias, but her name was Marguerite.
No, but the opera is called Camille.
If I had another half hour, would straighten
it
out.
No, the opera
well,
is called...
Well, I can give you the first six chapters if you want.
No, don't fight. Don't fight, ladies and gentlemen. The answer, at any rate, is right, as Mr. Kieran reminds us. It was Alfredo's father. And how about this one? Who is responsible for...
Excuse me, please.
All right.
In the book, it's Armand. It is not Alfredo. Yeah. In the play or the opera, whatever it is, it's Alfredo.
Maybe we better just tear this question up.
Maybe it was just two other guys.
Yeah, I think it was, yes. Just a couple of other guys. How about this one? Who separated Kathy Earnshaw and Edgar Linton? Who separated Kathy Earnshaw and Edgar Linton, Miss Struther?
Heathcliff.
Heathcliff is right. How about this one? Who separated Frankie and Johnny? Mr. Adams?
Well, supposed to be somebody named Nellie Bly.
You mean you don't believe that rumor?
I'm doubtful about it. But
well, in the song about
Nellie
Frankie,
Bly.
It was a girl named Nellie Bly. That's quite right. Well, that gives us 2 out of 3. Now, let's see. The score is... Let's see, Miss Skinner and Miss Struther got 15 right. Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams only got 13 right. Licked again, boys. The H.J. Hines Company tonight has paid out just $57 in war bonds and stamps, and that means one set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Miss Struther and Miss Skinner, our best thanks for your visit this evening. Now, next week, as I've already remarked, Information, Please, will continue its bond drive. You may remember that we've already stopped at Boston and Philadelphia. But next week, we're going to broadcast from the Bushnell Memorial Hall in Hartford, Connecticut. Our three regulars will be on hand, John Kieran, Franklin P. Adams, and Oscar Levant. And our guest will be Mr. Wendell Willkie, whose new book, One World, will be out on Thursday. Remember, listeners, to send your questions and the correct answers. Don't forget to send the answers some of you do forget. Send them to Information, Please, at 570 Lexington Avenue, New York City.